Paramanasita Ram Pati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Paramanasita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Paramanasita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram, 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 Jaya, Sitaram. Hanumana, 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 Hanuman. Hanumana, 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 Hanuman. Hanumano, Hanumano, Hanuman, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ram Jai Dai Ho Ram. Shri Ram Jai Dai Ho Ram. Shri Ram Jai Dai Ho Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ho Ram. Jai Dai Ho Ram. Shri Ram Jai Dai Ho Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ho Ram. Jai Jai Ho Ram. So, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidikacharya, also Teta Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Kada Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Bhaturanam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yumanamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Budle Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarane. So today we are talking about Lord Ram's pastimes. And so we have the next four sessions about the Ramayana, although I could spend at least 100 sessions on the Ramayana. So we're going to start off not specifically talking about Lord Ram, but about several different factors. Some of these stories about the personalities connected with the Ramayana, and then also about Lord Ram's ontological position. So the actual stories of the Ramayana, or at least of Lord Ram and Bharat and Lakshman Shatrughna, will be in the next few sessions. So let's talk about who Lord Ram is first. That's the first point. So Lord Ram is God. That's easy. So you may say, some people say, you say Lord Ram is God. You say Krishna is God. You say Lord Narsingadev is God. You say Lord Narayan is God. You say Lord Varaha is God. You say Lord Kurma is God. Will the real God please stand up? You know, just like you had this To Tell the Truth TV show many years ago. Well, actually, Advaita Achyuta Nadir Ananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. They're all the same person. You, I, every one of us has different aspects to our personalities unless we are in a coma. We have an aspect in which we relate to our family, another aspect in which we relate to our boss. I also have a boss. He's on the altar. And he has a representative. The boss's manager is Srila Prabhupada. So we have just like myself, I have a relationship with Prabhupada. He's my guru, okay? And I have a relationship with disciples they're supposed to follow. Then I have a relationship with friends. Then I have a relationship with my mother. I mean, there's all these. If you think about it, each and every one of us has at least 100 different types of relationships, right? However, we can only interact and enjoy one particular relationship at a time. Usually, unless you're really good at multitasking, you can be talking on the phone with your beloved and at the same time yelling at your kid. You know, some people can do that. But it's limited. We can only have, generally, one or two interactions at the same time. But the interesting thing about God, in addition to many other interesting things about him, it's not loud enough for it. Oh, yeah, turn up downstairs. Interesting thing about God, amongst many other interesting things, is that he can do unlimited things at unlimited places simultaneously. At unlimited times simultaneously. Just like we have multifarious universes, that means the multiverse. If you're a scientist, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Quantum mechanics. So in each and every universe, Krishna is doing different things, even as Krishna in Vrindavan, or even as Lord Nrisimhadeva, or even as Karma Baraha, or any of these various other incarnations or appearances or avatars, and all simultaneously. And he's also aware of everything happening in every atom. He's also directing you, giving you what? Intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. All this is simultaneous. That's unlimited. Ananta. Like Ananta Rupam. Advaita Chuta Nadir Ananta Rupam. That he has unlimited forms, all simultaneous, and it's all the same person, just doing different things with different relationships in different places. So that's very important to understand that point. However, there are also other personalities called demigods, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Ganesh, and there's a whole bunch of 33 million of them, and I don't remember all their names. I once did, but I've forgotten. So they're just, not just, I mean, they're very exalted personalities. They're servants of God. They're not God. They're like the president's cabinet. Imagine having 33 million cabinet members. Well, you need a lot. And that's also in every universe, too, not just one for all the universes. Okay. So those are demigods. But we are interested in worshiping personalities who are of the category, what? Vishnu Tattva, means God category. And Ram is one of them. Ram and Krishna are the same. In fact, when we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we are also chanting Ram's name, we are chanting Krishna's name, we are chanting Radharaman, we're chanting Balaram's name. Wow. And incidentally, if you chant the name Krishna, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, all the incarnations are contained within the original personality of Godhead Krishna. Anyway, there's a lot of philosophy to discuss in this regard. But Ram is God. And as when God usually appears, he comes down with the what's called the Chaturvyuha. That means it's four expansions, which technically is called Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Not only does he come down as the Chaturvyuha, but he comes down with all of his eternal associates as well as his energies. For example, when Rama appeared, there was also Sita. She is the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So God, or the absolute truth, to be more precise, has a feminine and a masculine part. That's the complete understanding of the absolute truth. Just like we talk about Radha and who else? Nobody knows. Radha? Krishna, I'm testing everybody. Maybe I should wear a mask. What do you think? Why don't you give me a mask? Because there's many people here, someone may recognize me. So we talk about, I just want to set a good example. We talk about, it's a little muffled now, but it's all right. We talk about Radha and Krishna, or Lakshmi Nrisimha, or Lakshmi Narayan. You understand? So there's a feminine and a masculine counterpart to the absolute truth. And so when Ram appeared, then you have Sita at the same time. She's a little younger than Ram, but anyway, she appeared. And then you have Ram's brothers, the expansions. You have Lakshman, who is Sesha, Balaram, Nityananda, that's the same. I'm just talking about the same personality. Nityananda, Balaram, Seshanalik. And then you have Bharat and Shatrughna, who appeared as the four brothers. So, okay, we describe the ontological position. Now we get a little teleology. You know, why did Ram appear? Why would Ram come down to this earth? I mean, what business does God in general have coming down to the material world? And it really is coming down. It's like they have this word, what, slumming or something like that? Well, you see, you know, you see a very rich man, and he's in the Bowery in New York, or you see a very rich man, and he's not lying in the gutter, but, he's walking through the most despicable neighborhood in any city. He said, what are you doing? What is Bill Gates doing here? So you may say, why did God come here? You know, he's there in the spiritual world, enjoying with his associates. You know, the same associates that come down are there simultaneously in the spiritual world with him. So why would, you know, what's the need? Well, I'll explain the need. There's exoteric reasons, that means apparent reasons, and there's esoteric reasons. Exoteric means the apparent reasons. He comes down to kill rascals, who we call demons. He comes down to protect the devotees, Vrichanaya, Sadhanam, Vinashaya, Chadushkritam, and establish religious principles. Okay, that's exoteric. But really, that doesn't touch on why he really comes. That touches on what he does. Although generally we hear that what he does as why he does, but it's not really why he does. Because that why stuff, or the Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, can be done by other people. You know, God can empower. I mean, God's so powerful, he can even say to me, I mean, that's hard to believe, he can say to me, kill the demon. Ding. And he would give me the power to do it. God can empower anyone to do anything. You know, even a mundane yogi, by practicing yoga, very few of them today who are that expert, can become powerful. They can make themselves bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, ride on a moonbeam. There's even a song about that. Anyway, so they can... Prapti City, they can reach out to some other place and make a withdrawal from the bank, from your bank account. Anyway, so there's yogic powers. I mean, what to speak of how God can empower someone? So then why does he have to do it? In fact, he doesn't have to do it. He comes down to enjoy, because there are certain activities that just don't happen in the spiritual world. Like, you know, real serious fights. You know, there's fights, a little wrestling in the spiritual world, but, you know, nothing serious. No danger. Like, there's these indirect rasas in addition to the direct rasas. Rasa means taste. Taste of a relationship. For example, we have different relationships. We have friendship relationship, we have parental relationship, we have conjugal relationship, we have servitude relationship, we have awe and reverence relationship. And there's a taste in each one of those. But then there's other tastes that flavor those five tastes that I just mentioned. And there are things like shock, ghastliness, humor, chivalry, things like that. So to the fullest extent, those things, some of those, are not present in the spiritual world. You know, can't really have ghastliness in the spiritual world. You can't have fear in the spiritual world. Because, you know, everybody's walking around with spiritual bodies. Can you imagine? Let's say if your body was completely invulnerable, you were like a Superman or something. Gopal's not here. But if your body was completely invulnerable, you know, and you couldn't die, you'd never be afraid of anything, isn't it? It's just like you'd walk into a fire. Isn't it? Just like Hiranyakashipu's sister, Holika. She wasn't afraid of fire. Of course, she got burned. So you wouldn't be afraid of anything. So in the spiritual world, there can't be any fear. They're fearful of being separated from Krishna, but it's not like fear. Danger, danger, danger. Some sannyasi's been kidnapped somewhere. So anyway, so there's no fear like we have in this world. And there's no ghastliness for sure. And so Krishna just likes to have it all out. Because God has desires. It's like we have desires to do things. You know, we picture God there, you know, just like sitting up there, you know, staring at a blank wall all the time, just passing judgment on people. It's a pretty boring life if that was God. Never gets to retire because he's eternal. That'd be horrible. Everybody's putting their requests in. I want a new car, you know, I want a new wife, I want a new this, I want a new that. So, but God, all the propensities that we have, like to enjoy, like today some of the devotees, I guess, went boating and swimming, things like that, right? So God likes to go boating and swimming too. You're going to deny him that right to do what you enjoy? I mean, that would be crazy. All right, God, you just behave yourself while I go swimming today. You just watch the temple, you know, make sure everything's all right in the temple. And I'm going to go swimming. Or I'm going to go playing. Well, God doesn't play golf. That's boring. But anyway, sorry about that. Or I'm gonna do something fun, ride my bicycle. Or play my guitar. So we have an understanding, a complete understanding of God, because we have God playing a flute. Can you imagine if you told that to people in a Judeo-Christian religion or the Islamic tradition? God plays a flute. What? He should just mind his God business and behave himself. But so anyways, and God likes to have a fight, just like some people like to wrestle, not all of us. Some people like to fight. Now you have people in this world who want to join the army. People who want to pull out their guns and, you know, shoot, you know. Right? I mean, it's just natural. There are people of different psychologies and different mentalities and psychophysical natures. That's life. So why can't God be like that too? So, for example, when Krishna fights sometimes, I mean, he doesn't pull out guns usually. I don't have any information about that one. But he pulls out the ultimate weapon, the Sudarsan Chakra. He has a disc weapon. Like in this world, you have the ninjas, who are their ninja thing. So he pulls out his disc weapon. Or he has all these really fancy arrows that he can shoot. Really amazing stuff. Or to fight people, you know, if it's too much rain, instead of an ordinary umbrella, he picks up a hill. You know, he's having fun. So really, the esoteric reason for Ram's appearance, for God's appearance in this world, is to have fun. Because if you're God, everything you do is for fun. You don't have to work. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. That's a statement in Sanskrit. That God doesn't have to do anything because he has other people's energies to do everything. He's up to karma. Everything he wants gets done without him even asking for it. He's Swarat. He's completely independent, according to the Bhagavatam. So therefore, you know, that's his psychology. Why did you do that, God? Because I wanted to. What can you do about it? You can't say, you know, can you want something else, God? No, I'm independent. I'll want any... Not, I'm not God, of course. I want anything, and I'll do anything I want with anyone, to anyone, at any time I want. Of course, Krishna is compassionate. Hey, Krishna, Karna, Sindhu, and also Ram is what? Patita Pavana. He's the savior of the fallen. And so he's compassionate. So he's doing things. What he enjoys more than anything else is loving exchanges. You know, he does enjoy fighting. He does enjoy chivalry. He does enjoy all these other indirect wrestles. But he enjoys the loving exchanges with his devotees. And so that's why Sita Devi and Rama are there enjoying loving exchanges, which we'll get into further when we talk about the Ramayana, the stories of the Ramayana. So this is really the reason Ram comes down. And he makes arrangements for demons to come who are actually devotees so he can play with them. Just like sometimes you have a cat and the cat is enjoying playing with a mouse, even though the cat may not be interested in eating the mouse because the cat's master is feeding it or her or him. Something better. Anyway, so the cat is playing. And even when Krishna appears as Lord Nrisingadev, which is like the original cat, half man, I know half lion, he plays with Aranyakashipu before he actually cuts out his intestines. That's pretty ghastly, isn't it? I mean, an operation without anesthesia. It's pretty bad, you know. I mean, he wears a garland of the intestines. I mean, how ghastly can you get? I mean, if you go to see some horror movie of axe murderer or something like that, it's not as ghastly as someone wearing intestines. So anyway, it's not my taste to watch people wearing intestines. But still, you see all these different rasas are there. That's the point I'm making. So he's enjoying. So Ram makes arrangement for these different personalities who are actually devotees who act like demons, like Ravan and Kumbhakarna and Sarpanaka, who actually later on gets a chance to enjoy with Ram in another incarnation, but I'll tell that story later on. So he makes arrangement so that he can interact with them, and he kills them, and these are his devotees. Now, another question you may ask is, what kind of God is he? He takes his devotee and turns him into a demon? So, but the devotee wants to serve God so much, he doesn't mind. You understand? That's pure devotional service. You can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, and you'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is the mood the devotee has in relationship with God. So if God wants me to become a demon, then I'll become a demon. Of course, if you're a demon, don't say that I'm a demon because God wanted me to become a demon. That's just an excuse. These are special personalities. So you have Aranyakashipu, Aranyaksha, Kumbhakarna, Shishupala, you know, people like that, who were incarnations of Jai and Vijay, who were supposedly cursed, but it was Krishna's plan, so they would come down to this world. So Ram and Nrisingha Bhagavan and Krishna could fight with them and have a good time. So that's Ram's enjoyment. So try to understand, this is called Leela. Ram is actually Leela avatar. He's also Yuga avatar. There's different types of avatars. Avatar, the word avatar means someone who crosses down from another realm. Not like that movie where someone just like took on a blue body. That was like a horizontal change of bodies. You know, the Avatar movie. But the word technically means to cross down. So there are many different avatars, and they have this, and they're all Krishna, they all have this enjoyment. So anyway, so the Rama avatar, he dealt with many, many, many demons or many devotees, and he enjoyed himself. Although some of the pastimes don't appear to be enjoyment. Like when Ram's wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped. Actually, she wasn't kidnapped. We'll get to that later. But apparently she was kidnapped, and it appeared that he was suffering. Or when Sita Devi was sent to the forest later on, it appeared that she was suffering and Ram was suffering. But we are looking at things, all these different pastimes, and we're looking at them through material eyes and thinking, if I was in that position, it would be miserable. So isn't God miserable? But when you, of course, you can't look through the eyes of God, but we have to be careful about this, you know, atma vatmanyate jagat thing, just projecting our consciousness upon others, especially upon God, and thinking that he's thinking like you would if your wife was kidnapped or your wife was in the forest. Of course, some people may want their wives to be kidnapped. That's a different subject matter. But anyway, that's a joke. But anyway, so you can't think like that, because something else is going on very, very deep. When the Lord is separated, when Krishna is separated from Radha, Radha separated from Krishna, they're never separated. You're seeing things, or I'm seeing things, we're all seeing things externally, right? They're not separated. Just like when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're with Krishna. Prabhupada said he was never separated from his Guru Maharaj, who had left this world, you know, apparently, years before. Prabhupada said he was never separated because he was always connecting on the spiritual platform. When you connect on the spiritual platform, you're not separated. So even these pastimes that appear, and some of them are really heavy stuff. When Ram sends Sita Devi away, and you know, I had a lot of trouble with that one in the beginning, probably still do, that he sends Sita Devi away and then she's in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, gives birth to Lav and Kush in the ashram. And thinking, oh my God, just because of what some washerman said, then you start to think, phew, what's happening? But it's not material. It's all happening with spiritual exchange. When there's separation in the spiritual realm, then it's very deep connection. When there's meeting, it's very deep connection. When there's about to be meeting, it's very deep connection. It's called purvaras. When there's about to be separation, there's very deep meeting. It's always meeting, always together. Sita's never separated from Ram, nor is Ram ever separated from Sita. So it's very important points to understand. And they're doing this to enjoy. It's like a lila means a play. Okay, let me just find this word. We talk about Ram lila. That means it's a play. Like if we've had many nice plays here. We had Lalita Madhava, Lamukta Charita, and there were different parts that different people were playing. Some of our expert, super expert dancers, actresses, the best in the world. Some of them are here, that's why I'm saying that. Just to encourage them. So, and they really got into their play, their mood. That's called method acting. If any of you, I studied acting in the university. I studied at a particular school called Stanislavski Method Acting. So when you get into the part and you really live the part and you are the part. And so they were doing this play, dance, and they were the part. And so Krishna, and that's enjoyable. Even if you're playing a part that's full of sorrow. Like in the Lita Madhava play, there was sorrow there. You had Radharani, who was at that point Satyabhama, who was being threatened to be sent away forever. And by Rukmini. Anyway, some of you may know what I'm talking about, but that's all right. She was threatened, and just painful, but they're playing. They're enjoying. They're really into their roles. Krishna's really enjoying. That's Yogamaya, too. That they're playing so much, they forgot who they are ontologically. So when Ram is doing all this Leela, Ram Leela, of course, that's what he does, he forgets he's God. So he can enjoy. Because if you're thinking you're God, not you, but if Ram was thinking he was God, he could just think, Ravan, all right, die. Kumbhakarna, die. Washerman, die. You know, it's just like, it's boring. It's boring because there's no suspense, there's no ghastliness, there's no nothing. It's just like you sit back and everything happens because of your will. So for God to enjoy, he has to forget he's God. This is, I think, is a very important part of Ram Lila to understand. He has to forget that he's Ram, he's God. And so he can have all these different feelings, and that's... Enjoyment means to have feelings. Enjoyment means to have variety. Just like many of us, because of COVID, are just stuck in the same place. Where's the variety? The camera changed or something? Well, the camera's looking at the deities rather than me. It's probably more fortunate. Anyway, so where's the variety? Where's the travel? Just like I look... Every time I drive to Raleigh, I look wistfully at the airport. Thinking, oh, when will that day be mine? And I can get in an airplane. So, because there's variety, isn't it? I mean, many, many people, of course, I have variety on the internet. I'm just joking about that. But many people are stuck at home, and they're looking at their wives or husbands for the first time in several years. Having to be in the same house with the same persons for months. It's a challenge, isn't it? And they're working from home. And so you think, oh, I need some variety. Let me run out in the woods or something like that. So anyways... So because of Yogamaya, God is experiencing all this variety, and he loves that. Look, God, variety is the mother of enjoyment, Prabhupada would say. So anyway, so these are the real reasons behind Ram's advent. Okay, so I think we discussed ontology, Leela, playing, purpose, everything like that. Okay, so now we'll get into some stories, if that's all right. Now, the way I was thinking we'd structure this, I was going to tell some of the background stories behind the Ramayana first, today and next Sunday. And then we get really into the Leela. So, of course, the first background story that comes to mind is a story, I'm going to reference my notes on this, is the story of the author of the Ramayana. Because the Ramayana is actually, you know, a very large literature. It's 24,000 verses. It has 500 cantos, 6 khandhus. You know, it's an amazing literature. And it's all written in Sanskrit, all in the same verse, rhythm, meter. That's amazing. I mean, the Bhagavatam is not all written in the same meter. There's different meters in the Bhagavatam. The Mahabharata has different meters in it, too. But the Ramayana is written all in the same meter. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to tell you the story why it's all written in the same meter. But first we have to talk about the story about the author of the Ramayana, who's known as Valmiki. And the name Valmiki basically means, Valmiki, the sage Valmiki, means the anthill sage. So that's a strange name for a sage, isn't it? Anthill sage. Anyway, in the Vedic literatures, you actually find some of the sages have really interesting names, like Durvasa, which means the sage with a bad temper. So you got to be careful when you run into him, because he can bless you or curse you, depending on whether you please him. Because he's a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. He's Ashutosh. So, anyways, let's get to the story. There was this dacoit. Now, for those of you who don't know what a dacoit is, it's a gunda. And if you don't know what a gunda is, that means a thief, rascal, rogue, murderer, all those other things like that. So there was this dacoit named Ratnakara, and he was living in the forest, and he was maintaining his family doing his dacoit business. What was his dacoit business? Robbing people, killing people, taking ladies' jewelry after he killed them and everything like that. That was his job. So one day, his wife starts complaining to him, and she says, I want more. You know, because he's doing it for his family, to maintain his family. Just like some of you may work with IBM or Burroughs Wellcome. Of course, that's a lot better than being a dacoit. So he was doing it to maintain his family. And his wife said to him one day, is this all you brought me today? And he said to her, my dear, please be patient. Tomorrow I'll bring you more, because there's some very rich merchants who were going through the forest. So his wife became very happy. And one day, of course, for those of you who are familiar with the Tulsidas Ramayana, this is a different story. This is from the Valmiki Ramayana. I have to make it very clear that the stories I'm telling are from the Valmiki Ramayana. I guess the lights are all right. Not the Tulsidas Ramayana. The Tulsidas Ramayana, for those of you from North India, is the Ramayana written in Hindi. And it's taken, it's the Ramacharitamanasas, that is Tulsidas's thoughts or meditation on the Ramayana. It's not as authoritative as the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the original. Although in each and every part of India, there's a different Ramayana, interestingly enough. But the original is Sanskrit. There's a South Indian Ramayana, North Indian, just like there is with the Mahabharata. But the original is Sanskrit, and we have the original edition of the Ramayana in Sanskrit. Very beautiful. So, anyway, so getting back to the point, he says, okay, dear. And then one day, there's seven sages. They're called the Sapta Rishis. It's different than the Tulsidas Ramayana, so don't confuse it, but this is actually the original. They're passing through the forest. And this Ratnakara, he says to them, put up your money or your life. And they explain to him, we're just sages. We don't have any money. You know, we just chant Hare Krishna. And they said, why are you doing this robbery thing? Don't you understand? It is very sinful, because it's karma. As you sow, you shall reap. You know, if you rob from people, in the future you'll get robbed. If you hurt people, in the future you'll get hurt. If you help people, in the future you'll get helped. And if you're Krishna conscious, don't have to worry about that. Don't do any good or bad things, just be transcendental. So he'd explain, this is my means of livelihood. This is what I've been trained to do by my family. And they said, it's a problem. You're going to really suffer in the future. They explained the law of karma to him, that in the future, you know, you're going to, guess, go to hell, get tortured, be a subject of a robbery. You know, if you do something, you get it back. So he said, I know, but what can I do? This is the only way I know to make a living. And my family's dependent, and my wife's nagging me. So they said, okay, since you're doing it for your family, we understand, we're empathic with you, do you think your family would be willing to share the karma? Since they're getting the goods, are they willing to share the karma? And he says, of course. They love me with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might. They love me. So they said, go back and ask them. So he goes to his wife, and he says, Priya, are you willing to accept? Well, that's what you're supposed to call your wife, Priya, which means dear. You know, it's not like, hey, you, or anything like that. It's actually a very sweet term. Husbands are called Swami. I won't tell you what that means. So anyway, so Priya, are you willing to accept some of my karma? You know, you got that beautiful sari and those earrings. So are you willing to accept my karma? And she says, no, your business is to work. Then he goes to his children. He has a daughter and a son. And I'm not going to modernize the story like I usually do. You know, usually I tell it in terms of the son asks for an iPhone and the daughter asks for an iPad or something like that. And so, but he goes to them and they say, no, Dad, get back to work. So he's devastated. Can you imagine? You know, you work for someone your whole life. You really risk your karma. And they say, no, it's you work. We enjoy. Can you imagine? It's very sad. And so he goes back. He's completely devastated. He returns to the sages. And he says, what can I do? You know, I want to give everything up, but I don't know how to do it. And they say, well, here's a mantra for you. You can chant the names of Ram. Because at this point, he doesn't know who Ram is. And so he says, it's not going to work. Because I'm not pious enough to chant it, the name of, and he doesn't even say Ram. He can't even say it at that point. Actually, if you're not pious, you can't say the name of Ram. He doesn't even say it. He said, give me some other mantra that I can chant. And they say, well, let's think about it. You can chant the name of Mara, which basically means death. And so he says, this is a great idea. You know, just like nowadays they have all this music, you know, punk, funk, junk music, where they chant, you know, horrible things. Death, kill, maim, attack. When I was young, it was never like that. It was always sweet love. But anyway, so he says, this is a great mantra. And so he starts chanting, Mara, 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 Mara. Mara, 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 Rama. You could turn to Ram. You try that. Mara, 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 Ram, 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 Ram. And he's so determined. Why is he determined? Because he's completely fried out, disgusted with the material world because of the response of his wife and children, right? You know, so this is an impetus. As it says in the Bhagavatam, akama sarvakama moksha kama dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is full of material desires, free of material desires, or desires of liberation, one should enthusiastically perform bhakti. So his enthusiasm was based upon an ulterior purpose, which was liberation. And you see other cases of ulterior purposes like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And he was chanting just for that purpose. So people come to God for various purposes. They want money. They want the freedom from distress. They want knowledge. They're inquisitive. I mean, there are a lot of purposes. And so he had that purpose. And it became Ram, 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 Ram. And after several years, it's described, the seven sages returned, and they couldn't really find him. But they saw a big anthill, because in India they have big ants. Big ants. Not as big as Brazil. Brazil, they have these army ants that eat whole villages at one time. But there was an anthill about this big. And from the anthill, the sages could hear the name Ram, 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 Ram. And so they understood that it was Valmiki. So at that time they did some mystic thing and they revived his body because his body obviously had been eaten by the ants. Just like you have the story of Hiranyakashipu, he was living in the marrows of his bones. And so Also at this time, Narada Muni came by. He happened to come by. He comes by always at the right moment. And Narada Muni began to instruct him about who Ram actually was. He said that Ram was the king of Ayodhya, the most perfect person. And Narada told him to write the whole story of the Ramayana. And so Valmiki was thinking of nothing else. He was just thinking, how can I write this Ramayana story? He didn't have a clear idea how to write it at that particular juncture. But the pastimes of Ram actually manifested in his heart from the chanting of Ram's name, just like we hear about Nama Guna Rupa Lila, Nama Rupa Guna Lila, that when one chants the name of Krishna, or the name of Ram, or the name of any name of God, then the name manifests the form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. They're all contained. So when you go, Krishna, Krishna is there. Not only Krishna, Krishna's past activities, Krishna's devotees, Krishna, Radharani, you know, everything's there. Hare Krishna, that's Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. In fact, in some places in India, in Ram Govardhan, they chant, instead of Hare Krishna, they chant Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha, Radha, Radhe, Radhe. So, same, there is no difference. And sometimes they start the Hare Krishna mantra with Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's the same thing, because in the round, it ends up exactly the same. So, anyway, all the pastimes of Ram were revealed to him, but he didn't know what to do with them at that point. So once upon a time, he was going to a river called the Tamasa River with some of his associates. And he was just admiring the Lord's creation, the river, the forest, and everything like that. And he saw two what's called croncher birds. I don't know what a croncher bird looks like, but it's described in the Ramayana. They're called croncher birds. And they were in a tree, and they were engaged in courtship, like birds do. And so then, in a second, there was a hunter who pierced the male bird with an arrow. Right when they were engaged in courtship. And the female bird fell to the ground in despair and was actually crying for her mate. And Valmiki, feeling very compassionate, remember he was a robber before, but now he felt so much compassion for a female bird whose mate had been killed by the hunter. That's amazing, the difference. You see that in the story of Magrari the hunter, too. Magrari was saved by Narada, and then he wouldn't even step on an ant after that. And previously he was half killing the animals. So out of anger at the hunter, Valmiki cursed the hunter. And here's the curse. I have it written down in Sanskrit. It's a beautiful Sanskrit curse, in case you ever want to curse someone. Manashara pratishtam twagama shashvati samaha yat kruncham mitunare kam avari kaman mohitam, which means, O hunter, may you never be blessed, nor ever reach the realm of the timeless rest. That means Godhead, go back to Godhead. For thou hast rent. Now, a lot of the Valmiki Ramayana translations that I've read are all in ancient English, you know, old English. So when you talk about rent, it doesn't mean you rent an apartment, it means you cut. Just try to understand. It's like Shakespearean English. Thou hast rent the Kronchapati bird. While they were joined in love most rare. And that's actually a verse from the Valmiki Ramayana. And as soon as he said these words, which were born out of grief, which in Sanskrit is called shoka. Shoka, not shloka. Shloka is something, verse. But shoka, he realized he had made a new form of poetry. that had never been there before. I mean, this is the origin, at least in that kelp, of poetry. And then he was informed by Narada Muni and Lord Brahma that he should write the whole Valmiki Ramayana, the whole Ramayana, in utilizing this form of poetry. So, you know, in one sense, he didn't write down the Ramayana. It's very important to explain that he recited the Ramayana. And at that particular juncture, you know, so many times we talk about people writing the book or something like that. But millions of years ago, or even thousands of years ago, people had perfect memories. They could hear something once and remember it. And in fact, that's how the Vedic literatures, especially the four original Vedas, were passed down. With perfect rhythm, a perfect, which is meter, same thing, perfect pronunciation, just by hearing it one time. So Valmiki, he actually envisioned the Ramayana, and he recited this Ramayana several times, but especially to the sons of Ram, Lav and Kush. And later on, those sons of Ram, Lav and Kush, recited the Ramayana to Ram. And so that's the origin of the Ramayana story. And now it's 6 o'clock, so we only go for an hour today. And I have a, like I said, this is not even the beginning of the Ramayana. Just to give you a summary of what we're going to be doing next, we're going to be talking about the other characters next time, next week, like Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Sarpanaka, Vibhishan, Viswamitra Muni, Vasishtha Muni, some of the personalities surrounding the Ramayana. And then the next time, actually, we're only four times. The next session, we'll start to get in the story. And then in the last session, I have these 15 different lessons we learned from the Ramayana. Important spiritual lessons to be learned from the Ramayana. And I'm going to unpack these and explain how we can learn these lessons. Because when the Lord comes down, in spite of enjoying himself and killing the demons and all that other stuff, he comes down, well, actually, something I missed out in the beginning. He comes down to attract us by his pastimes. That's one thing. Because if he didn't do that, we'd all be left to speculate as to the nature of God. You know, we would think with the concerning, let's say, the anthropological understanding that because we look a certain way, God must look a certain way. Or as one pre-Socratic philosopher, was that Xenophanes or someone who said, that if Ethiopians had God, he would look like black, or if the Chinese had God, he would look, and if horses had God, God would look like a horse. You know, so people generally, if they don't have Shastric knowledge or knowledge of the Lord's appearance, they generally depict God in terms of their own physical nature. For example, many times you'll see Jesus Christ depicted with blonde hair and blue eyes. Not true. How do I know it's not true? Because I know where he appeared. I mean, just practically speaking, he was Semitic, which means you don't have blonde hair. Anyway, sorry about those who have blonde hair here. That's not your problem. So people project their misunderstanding upon the Absolute based upon their own experiences. So God comes down, Ram comes down, to show us that he's a person and to show us he has certain characteristics and also to attract us. Because if Ram hadn't come down, how could we be celebrating Ram Lila, right? All of us would just sit here just chanting Om the whole day, which is kind of boring. Or if Krishna didn't come down, then we just say, today is Om Lila. Om, okay, everybody sit as we quietly chant Om Madne Padne Hum. Oh, so that's Buddhist. But anyway. So he comes down to destroy our iconoclastic ideas about the Absolute so we can understand who God is and become attracted. It's so attractive. Ram is supremely attractive. Krishna is supreme. There's Bhagawan. Bhagawan Ram. Bhagawan Krishna. And so then it gets our minds off of all the things of this world, like all these different problems, you know, read the newspaper. Of course, no newspapers anymore. But read the internet. And you get your mind off of these stupid things that are going on in the world. Most of them are pretty stupid. And then you just think of the transcendental realm. And then janma karma chame devyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Chatva deham purna janma naiti mam eti sojana. Then you don't have to come back to this world after leaving. Okay, so any quick questions? Questions, problems? No? Oh my God, everyone's so quiet. What happened? Questions about Ram? About the things we talked about, not the other pastimes. No? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Well, part of his, when we talk about fun, you know, sometimes we misunderstand that fun means just something like stupid that has no meaning at all. But God's, what God enjoys is bringing people back to him, being compassionate. So this world is a world of rectification. You understand? Just like the example used sometimes is like this world is like a prison house. A prison house is meant, if you're an adherent to the philosophy of justice, of restorative justice, a prison house is meant to restore people to normal humanity. Not meant to punish people. But sometimes there's tough things, you know, tough love. That's required in rectifying people. Plus, you know, although it appears very heartless, we're not this body, and so all the suffering and enjoyment in this world is due to misidentification with something that we're not, and it's an illusion. Now, the world is not an illusion. It's here. This chair is here. But our attachment is causing the suffering or enjoyment. Just like yesterday, I mean, for example, someone did something and I thought they hurt my car. And I got an anxiety, I was angry, and, you know, I even yelled at someone. So, because of the attachment. So in other words, there I was experiencing different symptoms of ecstasy. No, not of ecstasy. Because of attachment. But you give up, I mean, this is, even the Buddhists talk about this. You give up the attachment, give up the suffering. So it's like going to a movie. When I was young, my mother took me to one movie. I didn't cry. The name of the movie was Love Story. Not something that I enjoy. You know, I sit through marriages and just wait for them to be over. So it was Love Story. My mother was going, woo-hoo, 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 and tears were pouring from her eyes like torrents of rain. The hairs are standing on her end. And I said, what's wrong, Mom? So they were in love, and they died. And I said, that's life. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya. No, I didn't quote that verse, because I didn't know about it at that time. But, so because of her attachment to the film, you know, it was really intense for her. So, ultimately, we come to the understanding, hopefully, that we're not the body. This is a film. This is virtual reality. This is a simulation. This? Oh, this thing. That's a stink bug. So, anyway, so you know, that's the attachment. it's like to a movie. But of course, this is much harder to remove this particular attachment. One has to be attached to something. It's not that you overcome attachment by giving up the attachment. You can't give up the attachment. You have to be attached to something superior. So when you're attached to something superior, then naturally you're not attached to the inferior anymore. If something's happening nice in real life, like if you're going out, let's say if you're going out in the river and paddling your boat and everything like that, you're not going to want to watch a movie of someone else paddling a boat, right? But if you're stuck inside, it may be enjoyable to watch someone else paddling a boat. So right now, you know, we're stuck inside, you know, attached to this body, and we're watching the material world paddle the boat, you know, just. So, yes, the material world is a place of suffering in many ways. I mean, ultimately, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshana darshanam. However, one could be happy by being attached and having a higher spiritual purpose and seeing things in the right, Hare Krishna, in the right perspective. That's the point. You see things in the right perspective, in spite of everything else going on around you, you actually are able to refocus. Just like you have a camera lens. You know, in the old days they had cameras, not mobile phones. And they still have cameras. And you take the lens, it's something called a bokeh. Anyone's heard of that word before? Bokeh? B-O-K-E-H. Anyone's familiar with that word? Yeah. That means when you focus on something, everything else is out of focus. That's a technical photography word. So when you're focused on the spiritual realm, even though everything else is going on around you, you know, and whatever, you're getting sick or whatever problem is happening, then you have the higher goal in mind, and the other things are just like out of focus, basically. I mean, you're aware of them, but they're just like, what can I do about them? It said, the serenity prayer says, you know, try to change the things you can change, but the things you can't change, you just don't bother. So we should be serene. Om Shanti, 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 Shanti. Yes, Hrishikesh. Rama's expansion of Krishna. The Bhagavatam says, but they're both the same person. You know, when we talk about expansions, it's not that they're different persons, but they're acting differently. But the reason we say that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he exhibits, this is an objective phenomena or objective observation, he has the most intimate relationships. Just like I say about you, Hrishikesh. Who is the real Hrishikesh? Is the real Hrishikesh the person who shows up at your workplace or the person that's home with your family? Tell me. Don't tell me it's the workplace because your wife may be watching. No, or when you're in the temple. Temple is higher than the house. Okay, hopefully his wife is not watching tonight. So you know, so he has. This is more him. Even though he's the same person, this is more him than when he's at his job. Although you're the same person. So that's really what it is with Krishna. You know, so Krishna is the most intimate relationship. I mean, Ram has intimate relationships, of course, Sita Devi, and Hanuman, he worships Ram with awe and reverence. And Bharat, Shatrughna, Lakshman. Lakshman never disobeyed anything Ram said, right? But what do you have between Krishna and Balaram? Does Krishna always listen to Balaram, his elder brother? No. If he feels differently, he ignores what he says. That's more intimate, isn't it? You know, otherwise, the relationship of Ram and Lakshman, Ram is like the boss and Lakshman is like the servant. Whole time they're in the forest, he doesn't eat, you know, basically. he stays awake guarding Ram. You know, of course, he's, at one point he does give advice to Ram, because at certain points when Ram is feeling separation from Sita, Ram is getting ready to destroy the whole universe, right? The whole Earth planet, at least. And he says to Ram, cool down, you know, we're going to find Sita. Don't destroy the whole universe. Yeah, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Ram is Vasudev. Vasudev, and then Sankarshan is Lakshman, Prajuna, Aniruddha, as Bart and Shatrughna. That's the Chaturvyuha. First Chaturvyuha is Krishna, Balaram, Sankarshan, Prajuna, Aniruddha. That's the first Chaturvyuha. And then there's Chaturvyuha, the expansion of expansion of expansion of expansion. And Radharani also expands the Shakti Tattva. Then you have Lakshmi, Sita Devi, Lakshmi. Anyway, I think that's enough because I have other things happening tonight. Okay? Thank you all for listening. It's been nice having a nice amount of people here in the temple. Everyone can take darshan of Radha Galukananda. And next week, same thing. And then Ram Nomi, which is on a Wednesday, will morning and evening, Ram Katha. And maybe even more. Because as I said, I have so much material in my head because I've read the Valmiki Ramayana so many times that I could speak about this forever. Okay, I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Ram Ki Jai, Ram Chandra Bhagawan Ki Jai, Sita Devi Ki Jai, Lakshman Ki Jai. Bart ki jai, Shatrughna ki jai, Hanuman ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Okay.